three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff wraps it up.
This is Adra Canyon. Back again for day, what am I up to? Day four of the Blitz. Big news, really big news today, because it's not just me. That's right. It's a normal sort of extra bonus NBL Pocket podcast, because with us today, I have in person in another room, because we've got recording studios, Nick Tan.
Hello, it's Nick.
It is, see? It's true. And joining us all the way from not Darwin, we have Joseph Corr. You want to go straight into dinner update? Okay.
Listen.
So everybody will be hearing about my struggles with my bachelor diet, and I thought it was time for a change today. So I thought I need to go. Yeah, I'm gonna blow the cash. I'm gonna buy something at the stadium. I'm gonna eat in style. I left it too late. By the time I walked out, because I don't like, no man like me wants to line up for food. That's just a no. If I can't just stroll up and get something straight away, I'm out. So the queue was there. So I was like, no, I'll come back later. The problem with that plan, the queue was gone, but so was the food. So I had an empty tummy. I had to come home. But I've gone back to bachelor style. And tonight we had the ultimate. And not bachelor. Bachelor times two, because I cooked for Nick. So both of us have enjoyed the pleasures of a sausage in a bun with sauce.
No, it wasn't a bun. It was bread.
Good point. Sausage. I'm overselling it.
White bread or brown?
White.
White bread, and it was at the cusp of going bad. Like it was almost stale, but it was still pretty good.
Oh man,
I'm pretty thirsty now, though.
You are real. You may be at the Blitz, but you are far from staying at the Ritz. Let me tell you, you guys are. Here was the intro. I'll tell you, the intro I had ready was, we're talking the NBL Blitz on the show, and we have Nick Tan, the Tan Man, seeing all sorts of sun in the top end, and Andrew Canyon. He's no yes man, but he just has a Canyon do attitude. The fan man in the stands is now on the ground in Darwin. And then my name is Joseph. I'm here in Melbourne, a much lower line of latitude. I've got a bad attitude. Can't wait to get flatitude with your mother.
Wow.
I wrote that.
Yeah, you like that? That's definitely better than what I came
I sat
up
here
with.
For 20 minutes while you guys ate sausages and buns. I had time. All right.
Wow.
Blitz.
Where do we start?
Yeah. I think we'll do is, you guys are there. I've got my questions here. I've got about six or eight questions for you. But Andrew, you've done this the last couple of days. Go for it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start off with, look, this is the first time I haven't been at the Blitz games ready to go, you know, at tip off in my seat watching the game. But the reason I was late was because Nick Tan had the potentially worst Qantas pilot that exists in Australia, which made us late for the game. So Nick, do you just want to tell us why we were late for the game?
We were coming in for landing, and it all looked good. I was watching the live stats on the seat. Got down to like 650 feet, so pretty low. And then he just put on full throttle, pulled back on the stick, and we were up in the air again. Came on the radio thing. He said traffic problems, but I'm a bit dubious. Unless it was some sort of RAAF thing, because there's RAAF base there as well. We had to circle around. So it made us probably about 10, 15 minutes late coming in.
Do you know what else it did? It cost me $10 in parking, Nick Tan. I parked in the 15-minute free zone, waiting. Yeah, it would have all timed out perfectly except for your pilot. Next thing you know, you go from free for 15 minutes, suddenly it's $10.
I'm going to have to send what's the CEO's name again? I forget. I'll send him a DM. So give me that $10, you bastard.
Brendan Joyce of Qantas.
No, Brendan Joyce, wasn't he a basketball coach?
Alan Joyce.
Alan Joyce. I was close. Partial credit.
I'm not sure Alan Joyce can afford it. I think he's struggling. No. He's bonus.
I failed out. Yeah. Listen, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the NBL some amongst the botched landings and sausages in a bun. Oh my. I think today was day five, wasn't it? The last pod was day four.
So this is day five. You're right. Day five. See, this is what happens when you've been in the top.
Take me through the games. I missed them both. Okay. I know of them, but I didn't watch them. So take me through that first one. You guys probably got the second half.
Yeah, sure. So the first game, we walked in and it was the New Zealand Breakers versus the Illawarra Hawks. We walked in, we looked at the scoreboard. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but it was a lot to not many. And it looked like, and it was a lot to the Illawarra Hawks. And we looked at each other and said, well, this game's already over. So it was just kind of like, sit back and enjoy the show. And it was just a relaxing game until suddenly New Zealand Breakers somehow got themselves back into the game, which made it kind of interesting.
Because I'm looking at the score sheet in front of me. I've got New Zealand 81 going down to Illawarra 85. So it got real close.
Yeah, and the Breakers were just hitting every shot they threw up there in the second half. Just nothing was missing, which brought them right back into it. I've got some specific comments that I observed.
Yeah, do it.
Maybe over to Nick. Well, Nick,
yeah, Nick, before that, I just want to ask Nick, did you think, sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
I was just want to think, Nick, obviously his first experience of Darwin basketball, so he may have some more observations as well.
Yeah, I've got my observations were not so much the game itself, but the atmosphere. So the Darwin public really love NBL basketball. They really get into it. The stadium doesn't hold a lot of people, but they do make a lot of noise. The music was really loud tonight. I'll just say that. We had to plug in our AirPods and put them to noise cancelling to get us through.
I saw your watch, really bad. Nick, where you were like decibel level causing damage or something. I saw that photograph on Twitter.
Yeah. They did turn it down. Like Andrew spoke to the sound guy. And he did turn it down for the second game.
Is there anything I won't do in this part as part of this NBL blitz at this point? Now I'm controlling sound.
Yes, the sound police. But somebody needed to say something though, because it was really bad. Anyway, the game itself, it was. I'm really impressed with the next star from New Zealand, Ryan Rupair, I believe is his name.
That's right.
He looks really athletic. He's got long arms. He really puts a lot of effort in defense. And he was shooting well tonight. I didn't realize he was that good a shooter. So it'll be interesting to see if he can keep that up going forward in the season. But he's one to look out for. And I think I even mentioned to Andrew that I think he's got the potential to be the best next star that we've seen.
Yeah, that's what he said. Even better than LaMelo Ball. And
really?
Yeah.
So big call from Nick Tan straight out.
He's a wing player, right?
Yeah.
He's going to get minutes. Breakers are a team for me that's kind of on the boil for me. I still don't know how to read them. I've only watched a half of them at the Blitz. Can I ask you guys this question? The Blitz has looked like so much laid-back fun. Both in the coverage and the broadcast and the vibe in general, and also, you know, Andrew and now Nick, the way you guys have covered it, like it seems very wholesome in a way. Sometimes the NBL season can get a bit stuffy towards the end. It can get a little bit, what's the word I'm searching for? Certainly not overproduced, but it can just get a little bit quite formal. How does the league and the broadcast partners bottle the feeling up there? Because it really has a vibe that's very unique, and I think people would want to be a part of that if they could expand it long term. Am I right about that? And if so, how do you kind of bottle it, Andrew?
I think the thing that they've got going on up here is because it's a small stadium, small venue, it's accessible. And they're also not overdoing the security. Maybe that's something you can't pull off in one of the major capitals. But the fact that there's not a phalanx of dudes standing around the court protecting everybody from everything just makes it more like you're at a local community event, and it feels like there's not that separation between the players or the performers and the crowd. And there is still enough security. Like, nobody's being stupid. There's nobody at risk, but I think the people feel like they're more part of it. That would be
And that's both security and is the court, are the fans like right up to the court? Is it close quarters or is there quite a gangway around the court?
There's still a gangway. There's still that sort of walking zone between the seating and the court. So, you know, there's still enough for people to get by. It's in context to its size, of course. But no, I just feel like sometimes you go to the major capitals and they're treated like super, players are too exclusive and they're separated by security and walls and all that from anybody. Right. And I understand why, but at the same time, it's like when the AFL used to allow kids to go on the field and kick the footy after the siren. You know, it's when AFL stopped doing that, it lost something. And I think the NBL loses something as well when it stops people getting near the players.
Nick, you've been to a lot of Wildcat games, 13,000 people. They're pretty manic. Have you felt a different vibe up there? And if so, for better or worse, what do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely different. And I think it's because of the size of the venue, as Andrew was saying, but also the smaller number of people. So there's no security, well, it's minimal security. And, you know, the walkways around the court is like a shared walkway. So I could be walking to go get a drink and then the Cairns Taipans players who are playing in the next game are just walking past. And you can't really get away with that in the larger venues just because of the sheer number of people, right? So, you know, if a handful of people stop them and ask for autographs, that's fine because it's only going to take a couple of minutes. But if you've got, you know, 500 kids trying to do the same thing, it's just not possible in the time frame that they've got. So I don't know if you can replicate that in larger venues just because of that sheer number of people.
I'll say this. One thing I've liked, so the footage of you, Andrew, kind of talking to the guys in the what looked like really hot sun and kind of a bullpen area, just kind of hanging out. That vibe I really liked. If they could carry that into the season and have this sort of fun, real summery product. Like sometimes I feel like the NBL, it doesn't have a summer vibe, even though it's played in summer. I think it needs to kind of open the shutters more and kind of have just the idea of like there was Bryce Cotton in shades and a polo. I know they wear that all the time, but I think he was in shorts and slides. Like if they could push more of that in their marketing, I feel like that'd be a really individual product. Is that kind of...
Yeah, it does. That is what Australia is, right? And that should be one of our points of difference, you know, that we can present to the world and say, hey, look at our laid-back attitude. You know, that's what our country's meant to be known for, right? The take-it-easy, mate, kind of approach. Let's bottle that and put it into the league.
I've really noticed it just through the whole vibe of it. And maybe it's a Darwin thing. Maybe it's just the way that it's been constructed up there. But nonetheless, I want to ask
you. One guy who didn't get the script on that, Modi Mayor, coach of the Breakers, is the only coach I've seen wearing pants. Everybody else in the shorts, Modi sticking with the pants. So I don't know if there's something he's trying to hide. He's used to the tropics. I don't know.
Have like offensive tattoos down his legs. Let's talk about that game, that second game. Nick, we were talking about it a little bit off air. 76 Cairns, 77 Brisbane. They won it kind of at the buzzer. More than the game itself, like, who looked the better of the two Queensland teams? You know, like roster construction, effort, all that sort of stuff. Who'd you like?
It's a little bit hard to say because Cairns were severely shorthanded. But they played exceptionally well. I was really surprised. Not surprised, I should say, more impressed at how well they were playing. They had a lineup out there at one stage where I think Taji McCall was the tallest guy on the court. So he was playing the five. And Brisbane's got some big dudes, right? They've got Baines. Harry Froling is huge as well. And then they got some guys out as well, like Tyrell Harrison. But it was interesting because Froling had a good game, but he was playing against really tiny dudes. So I'd like to see him go and do that same stuff against some bigger guys. But out of the two, I think Cairns impressed me more just because of how short-staffed they were. And like Jonah Antonio got taken out early on. He got hit in the throat, didn't come back on. I think Ajok Deng wasn't playing.
Ajok Deng wasn't there.
Pinder was out. So they had that DP. I think he's the guy from NBL 1 West. He started at their fight in the center position.
That's Davey. Going
up against Baines. And he held his own pretty well, I thought. We were discussing him at the game. And, you know, he's playing NBL 1, you know, probably a few weeks ago. And now he's going up against Aaron Baines. Like, how awesome is that?
Yeah, it's a big jumper. Speaking of Baines, he's attracted, pardon me, this is for Andrew firstly, but Baines has attracted a lot of the attention. Early on seemed to play well, didn't play particularly well in this one by the look of it, 2 points, 1 of 8, oh, 4 from the outside. Your thoughts on him, Andrew, primarily from a health standpoint, secondly, effectiveness, what do you think in this game and also in general at the Blitz?
Yeah, look, I think tonight his shot selection probably wasn't right. He was settling for those three-pointers. And Aaron Baines, you know, for the great player that he has been for a long time, his three-point shot looks like something you'd see down at the local rec center on a Tuesday night.
Leans,
you know,
forward,
some guy
over,
sort of hoiking it up.
Something on a high shelf. Yeah, sorry.
So, yeah, the scoring wasn't there for him tonight, but I think that's fine. Like, it'll come. He's still recovering. He's still on somewhat limited minutes. What I noticed about him was him on the defensive end, just controlling the defense of the Bullets, shouting out, you know, calling plays, positioning his guys, calling ball when it was his turn. He's just a loud presence out there. And then when it's time for a rebound, like at one point he just walked through the keyway, took one arm, pushed one guy out of the way, took the other arm, pushed another guy out of the way, and just went through the middle. It's like, it's just ridiculous. So it's just a unit. And, you know, the shooting touch will come with practice. That's fine. He's going to be a game changer this year. And just the Brisbane Bullets in general, like Nick said, they're just massive dudes. They're a big team.
Do you think that's like, this is for Nick, big teams. Can you remember the last big multiple seven-footer team that was good? I still have my concerns. Can I ask you actually, Nick, as well about the size of them, but also Tyler Johnson. Did he look good? Did he look healthy? What do you think?
He didn't. I don't have the box score in front of me, but
I've got it here. 25 minutes, 10 points, 7 rebounds.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I didn't really notice him. I guess there was some other big performances in the game, so I guess he didn't have to do too much. But I remember watching their previous game, and I thought he played really well in that one. Yeah, he didn't really do anything that stood out to me tonight, but just, you know, I wasn't taking notes tonight, so
yeah, right.
No, I just come off the plane. So
Andrew Johnson, yeah. Does he look healthy? Does he look good? Were you like, oh, that's an NBA talent, and they've really hit over the fences with their
not tonight? No, no, he was more impressive on that first game the other day. This one. Yeah, I don't know if he played within himself. I think he was just outshone. It was really a game that you had DJ Hogg just started the game absolutely on fire for Cairns. So he took the limelight. Yeah, and then you had Bull Qual. So it was just, and then Sobey came in for Brisbane and did a bit. There just wasn't a game where the spotlight was on him. It was on other players on both sides.
Okay. Can I ask this? We'll start with you, Andrew. A team, because you've been watching them at home, Nick, and I want your opinion on this as well, definitely. A team that you think has looked better than expected, Andrew?
The Hawks. They've been like, they're 2-0. They're doing everything that's been asked of them. And I think that backcourt of Tyler Harvey and Robinson, isn't it? It's impressive. Like, they've got a bit going for them. So they've been, I mean, I'm not saying they're gonna make the playoffs or anything.
But you
like
were
that.
Like dead set bottom.
And oh, not, I was like, yeah, they're going to get slaughtered by 30 every game out.
Yeah, same.
They are, they're doing really well. And Sam Frohling, he's just so solid. So I think they, you know, way better than I anticipated. So that's been a real surprise for me.
Nick, same question.
I think Cairns. I'm really impressed with Cairns. That DJ Hogg is really good. Well, he was in the first quarter, but he's actually really solidly built. He's a big guy. I thought he was going to be a lot smaller, to be honest. but then I didn't really know much about him. But he's come out. He looks confident. He knows what he's doing. He can shoot the ball. He goes after rebounds. He sets hard screens. Yeah, I was really impressed with him.
Cool. Joe, it was good. At the end of the game, Nick and I both hung around, and Nick had a chance to talk to Jonah Antonio. He may want to talk about that. I had a chance to talk to Adam Ford. And
what are you talking about?
So I just asked you. You got to have an in with these guys, right? And I'm like, what is my in? My in is always the same guy. It's like Mr. Basketball of Western Australia. I said, hey, Adam Westerhout says hi.
The who? The barn owl.
There he is.
And let me guess, Adam Ford went, Adam Full Court Fitness. Whoo.
I tell you what, if it wasn't for Adam and Westerhout, where would I be? Where would I be right now?
Where would we all be? But sorry, Adam Ford, what was the conversation? That's great.
No, he said, oh, Full Court Fitness. Yeah. It's like, great.
There you go.
So, Adam Ford, really, he was just so nice to talk to, like a really nice guy. I probably monopolized his time a little bit because he was just so easy to talk to. But one of the things he did mention was he said, I hate talking about culture. You know, I don't like using the culture word. It's just a bit naff. But he's like, the culture of this team this year is just really good. He's like, I'm really excited about the group I've got together. They're working hard. And he's like, Tajir McCall is just a leader of this team. He's like, he is getting guys together. He's getting them. He was getting them to do like extra workouts, pushing them to go further. And Adam Ford is just like, this is awesome. You know, it's like such an improvement on what we had last year, just in terms of the way that they're building together as a team. They got young, hungry guys ready to go at it. So, it's a super exciting team. I reckon Cairns is the must-watch TV of the NBL.
Well, we said this. We're like, we worry about the talent, but we don't worry about the heart. They're going to play hard. And you saw it towards the tail end of last year. And the guys that kind of stood out towards the end of last year were those guys. Pinder, McCall, bunch of others. So, yeah, there's a relative optimism. They were an easy beat last year. Every time out, they were really struggled. Now I'm not so certain, which is good. Can I go the opposite way? And we'll start with you, Nick. Team that's looked worse than you expected and maybe one that you have legitimate concerns about.
I don't know if I have legitimate concerns for any team at this stage. It's still early in the preseason. And given there's a lot of people, a lot of players out injured, so it's hard to get a good read on, you know, really bad teams. But disappointing, I would probably say Melbourne United.
Right.
They're perennially a good team, but they've looked lackluster so far in what I've seen. So I'm looking forward for tomorrow night. So they're playing the Wildcats. Chris Golding's back. So I mean, with Golding back, that's going to change the dynamic of that whole team, isn't it? So we'll see if they bounce back.
What has been sort of off-putting about them or disappointing?
Just the lack of defensive cohesion, and that's probably Shea Illy being away, being out doesn't help with that either. You know, and I was actually listening to the Huddle podcast with Dean Vickerman on the plane today, and you know, him talking about at Summer League trying to scout for players when he doesn't know what's happening with Jack White, he doesn't know what's happening with Delhi.
Oh.
You know, that would have been you know, you want to go into those sort of situations with a plan of the type of player that you're going to target. And when you don't have you don't know whether some of your key locals are going to be there or not, that would really make it difficult. So, you know, I think seeing how the imports play out is going to be quite interesting going forward. Hmm. You know, did he select the right fit based on certain expectations? And did that all get thrown out the window when like Delhi got signed? Like, did we really see that coming?
Mm. I mean, Andrew, same question. Is there any team that's waving the white flag? Is there a team that's disappointed in your mind?
Oh, look, this is preseason, right? So it's all with a grain of salt. But right now I'm looking at the Sydney Kings and just saying, like, I think they put up 58 points in their last game from memory. They're their offense looked terrible. Their imports looked average. I look at them and I think, wow, they're just going to have a huge fall off from where they were last year. That's, you know.
I just look and I go, they've got two of the 10 best locals, one of the best three locals. They're going to be good in Cooks and Vasiljevic. I rate him that highly that I was like, no, they. And then I trust their recruiting. Ponga seems to get some pretty good guys. So they've got a point guard, Walton, who's got NBA experience. I'm shocked to see some of their low scoring, but I mean, this is the thing, championship headache. You know, how interested are they in doubling up? Do they really care? Like, it now the cap's open, they're not really defying anything. Their ownership is very much like, you know, oh, yeah, we can't do that, so we will. You know, don't press the red button, we're going to press it. You know, Bogut and Smith, okay, sort of provocative. So,
well, I'm going to go out and say first import cut. I think he is an import. He's not an ex-star, right? Yeah, he's an import. Suarez.
The big guy.
Sydney. Big guy, yep. First import cut.
That's like a Canyon staple. You love that one. That's good. Actually, Nick, before we go any further, do you actually have the ladder of the Blitz? Do you know who's leading it and who's at the bottom?
I do. I've it's on my phone. Just give me 1 second.
Bring it up.
Oh. While Nick's getting that, I just want to ask you a question, Joe.
Okay.
What's the, like, is the Blitz getting any awareness down in the southern states?
No. No, I mean, so. I'm being really honest when I say this, outside of your running coverage, which has been your stream, your Twitter, if you're not on it, people, by the way, at Andrew Canyon, C-A-N-I-O-N, that's been the best coverage out there. Like, it's every day, and it's, you get the big picture, you get the little picture, like, that was a great game, NBL Blitz. Bane constantly talking on D, what an asset. Sobey's ice the knees with that for the butt. Like, it is running. So you get the big picture, like, oh, just bought a t-shirt off Jody. And then you get, I don't know if that's a big picture, but
I should have bought it today. They had 10% off, damn it.
My worry is, doesn't the season start October 1? So that is, oh, there's still plenty of time. That's about what? Oh, less than.
It's only a week.
Jeepers creepers. Yeah. What? 10, 11 days. I'm a little bit more concerned about that, the fact that there's not a huge amount of press about that. There's been a little bit, but I guess that's a Saturday night, so you would think they'll ramp up the Monday, the 26th, end of this month. But, yeah, I mean, not to give too much away, but I do a bit of TV stuff, and I haven't really seen on the rundown and on the postings any kind of NBL guest coming on to those networks to sort of be like, hey, season opener, here's a 5-minute, you know, yep, pre-recorded chat or something like that. So that's a slight concern, even on some of the NBL's affiliate networks, but channels, 10 peach. So that's what I had there. But I, Nick, by any chance, have you got that ladder?
Yes. So we have Perth. Do you want the points as well?
Points. Go on, sir.
Perth on 13 points, Adelaide on 12, Brisbane 11, Illawarra 10.5. Tasmania 6.5, New Zealand 3, Cairns 3, Sydney 1.5, United 1.5, Southeast Melbourne 1.
That's Southeast it. Melbourne. It sounds, we both said right, teams that struggled. Southeast Melbourne have been without a lot of talent. No Creek to this point.
Broke off.
And I think one of the, and Kells, the
yeah,
import.
Kells. Yeah,
Kells. So I'm not putting a lot of stock in them being bottom. I want to ask this, best new import Canyon. Who you got?
Oh, best new. Okay, if we're saying new only.
Newly signed, yep.
All right, this might be recency bias, but I think it might be saying DJ Hogg. Yeah, he looks like he looks like he can shoot the ball, definitely shoot the ball, but he's because he's, like Nick said, he's big, he's able to post up as well. So, yeah, DJ Hogg for mine.
Seriously, okay. Nick?
Yeah, I like DJ Hulk, but I'm going to say Brady Manick just because he's got long hair and he's got a beard.
Okay. As good as answer as any. Milton Doyle, is that his name, from Tasmania Jack Jumpers? Kind of divisive, polarizing player. You don't like him, do you, Canyon?
No, I don't. No. I mean, I don't dislike him.
You compared him to Tony Crocker.
Yeah, which which I think is a fair comp, right?
No, they actually. Did you mean looked or play or both?
Both. They look the same, but maybe because they look the same, they have that same physique, they kind of end up playing the same way. Gotcha. Like, reasonable shooter. Like, the Crockpot was a decent shooter, but he was also a Crocco something else, and wasn't right for that team. And I'm feeling the same with Milton Doyle. Like, good shooter. You get him open, he's going to knock down a three. But is he gonna change a game? You know, that is he gonna do something like what a Josh Adams could do, or like what a DJ Hall could do? Can he bend a game? And I'm not seeing that from him. So I always worry that Jack Jumpers is so same, and he's just like another guy who's same.
Interesting. I want to ask this. Most aggressive or argumentative coach, firstly with his team. Does any coach look exacerbated? Annoyed by his own team, or like really pushing them? Does any coach seem like that, Andrew?
That's a good question. John really is highly strung. He's getting technical fouls every time he goes out there. But I think his aggression is more towards the referees.
I was about to ask. It's a separate question. Like, one with his team, one with the refs. Would you say really is the most animated with the refs?
Yep.
By a long margin?
A margin enough. Yes. A margin enough.
Who'd be next in line? I think you were saying Mitchell was going
probably to Mitchell, yeah. Mitchell would probably be next up.
Adam Ford, he had a bit of a run-in with Michael Aylin today.
Oh, dear. Can't do it, eh? Like, the refs, you're either Trevor Gleeson or you're not. And this is a bit of a departure, and this is where I ask the question. Years before, everyone was like, home cooking in Perth. Yeah, last year, even though they had a winning record but bounced up, no one really said that anymore. And I think it's kind of, that's the Gleeson effect, because he just rides referees so hard and so bad, but never crosses the line. Goes pretty damn close, but is constantly up their hole about this, that, and the other. And then also, I think they had the smiling assassin, Damian Martin, who was by far not a filthy player, but overly handsy, but was just so pleasant, never got called for anything. And those two left at the same time. And I think that's been, and that's why I asked the question, is really just going to annoy every ref, pardon me, to the point where it hurts the Wildcats.
I don't think so. I don't think it'll get to that point.
You'd hope not.
No, I don't think so. I think if it gets to the point where it starts costing them wins, then he'll pull his head in pretty quickly.
Going back to that other question, imports. Best import, new or returning?
Nick,
do you want me to go first?
Go Nick Tan, yeah. Sorry.
I mean, Bryce. I think Bryce Cotton is the best import.
That was my answer too, yeah. Yeah, that hell of a game. And then a quiet game. Any debate to that, Andrew?
No. Bryce is still the benchmark. Absolutely.
You mentioned on your last pod about the hand and the tape. Again, a sort of a cry from the hoot.
Hoot, hoot.
Did you talk about that already, the hand thing? And this?
No, I don't think we talked about it. But, yeah, the fact that he's not wearing tape on his hand this season bodes well, because that's something that's just been a fixture. The tape across the thumb and the index finger. So Nick, that, watch out.
Do you know any more about that, Nick? Have you heard rumblings?
No, I haven't heard anything.
Okay. Yeah, that was interesting. Andrew, what else has gone up there? What other game? Well, we've been through both the games. What games are on tomorrow?
Tomorrow's a good night, actually. Nick's come up at a good time. Because tomorrow we have, every night is a doubleheader in Darwin, but tomorrow night we've got Sydney Kings versus Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, two teams that have disappointed so far. So who's going to turn around their fortunes? Should be interesting.
Well, somebody is going to pick up a win out of those two, so that'll be good.
And then the second game is Melbourne United versus Perth Wildcats. So with Golding back. So that'll be a fun one to watch as well, because those two teams, whenever they play, there's always a bit of a rivalry there, even in a preseason. And tonight, I just want to say that the second game tonight felt like a regular season game. Like, there was so much, like in it. The two Queensland teams going at it. It didn't feel like the other preseason games here at the Blitz. It felt different. So maybe tomorrow night we'll get more of that.
And we've got Nick, big Wildcat fan. From what you've seen, do you like this Wildcat team better? I know it's only a little test sample, but what do you think?
I actually do. I really like this team. Tomorrow will be good because Tayshaun Thomas will be playing. So this will be the first time I'll see him in person. Saw him in the two Adelaide preseason games last weekend on TV. And he looked really good. Actually, I think he'll do really well in this league. I didn't realize he could shoot. I think he hit a couple of threes. So, yeah, that's going to be good. So looking forward to seeing him play tomorrow night. But I do like this Wildcats team. I think they're much more balanced than last year's team. I think the biggest difference is the coach, though. I think we're actually running some sort of offense this year and not just pick and roll till you find a mismatch and then do your thing offense, which worked for a while until it didn't, and then there was nothing else.
I'll say
I'm pretty happy with John Reilly.
I watched a half for the Wildcats, maybe less. The Cotton game where he played well. To me, the big thing for them is got to improve the defense rebounding and also just got to get Cotton the ball more and in better spots and not just wear him down through the season, having to ball handle a lot and get beat up and by Dellavedova and Illy and a whole bunch of defenders throughout the league. One thing I'll say, John Reilly was on the Brad and Body podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he gave a really interesting answer to a question when he said that what he thought was very good about Gorgian at the Olympics was the fact that Gorgian really would stop, think about what he wanted to say, and not just what he wanted to say, but how he was going to say it, and in the most direct and simplified manner. And direct and simplified would not be two descriptors I'd use to describe Scott Morrison in general, in press conferences or seemingly on the sideline in the few glimpses I got. There was that great big wad of paper out his back pocket. Thoughts were everywhere. Like, you go into a press conference, you don't know what he's going to say. He might be talking about some pub in Ontario. He might be talking about some joke from here. He appeared a little scattered. And in a league like this, you've got to have your points down to an arrowhead. So really seems to have that. And the way he really speaks is real kind of almost like a newsreader, like real kind of two or three words at a time. Because I don't know, I'm doing a bad impression.
That's a good point. No, it is a good point.
Yeah. Andrew, you're there on the ground. What's it been like being press? Is that too posh a word?
It feels a bit posh. It's really fun, actually, I've got to say. It is cool to have the badge that says media on it. You feel like you kind of got, access all areas, backstage pass kind of vibe going on. It's nice, and the main good thing is you can kind of I never feel comfortable just rolling up to players and saying, hey, talk to me. Even now with this badge, I don't feel that way. It's like it's a bit weird. So that's why I appreciate Adam's ability to provide me an entry point. But then you talk to them and you realize, well, first of all, they're fine to talk to, but secondly, like, you do have a bit more authority. They're going to talk to you because you've got a role. And that's like, in my normal job, I go talk to people all the time. It's not like I'm shy about talking to people, but I do that because I have a purpose. There's a purpose for me being there, and therefore I talk to people. This is giving you that same purpose. And it's been really enjoyable. And to be able to just share it with people is fun. And I feel like I'm giving back. It's cool.
Speaking of purpose, what do you and Nick intend to do from here on?
That is a good question. We have to shake it up now, don't we? So we've had the Andrew solo man show up until now. We've got to think about how we're going to change it up and become a two-man show.
Yeah, I think we'll figure it out. But I'm planning on doing some video stuff as well. So
awesome.
Probably not anything tonight because it's already pretty late. But maybe might put something quick together tomorrow morning.
Yeah,
but I'm actually going to pull out my camera tomorrow at the game and get some footage and see if I can speak to somebody or people, and we'll see.
What's your Twitter, Nick, handle?
At NickTan77.
NickTan77.
Or at Perth Bandits.
Or at Perth Bandits. Get both of them. That's handy. Interviews. Do you think either of you or both of you are likely to get one? And if so, would you use this as a platform to kind of sneakily put a request out in the ether?
Maybe. I've reached out to some players. We'll see what they come back with. So yeah, we'll wait and see.
I'm still hoping to talk to Simon Mitchell. Mm-hmm. I would love to talk to Simon Mitchell. I haven't pursued it yet. I really need to reach out to the Southeast Melbourne people actually and make that happen. I was going to just say hello to Simon at the game last night, but they took a loss. He didn't seem very happy. And it probably was, I deemed it not to be an appropriate time. But yeah, Simon Mitchell is still the guy I want to speak with.
Yeah. I think he likes to go by Smitch. Try that. I don't know. That could work. Feedback. Have people slid into the DMs, Andrew, and said, I've enjoyed this, I have enjoyed that? Has anyone taken you to task on anything? Because, you know, you've said some stuff.
It's been pretty good. I've had a couple of people say nice things to me in the DM, so thank you to those. It's always better to have nice things said to you than terrible words. So I appreciate those people. Thank you. You know who you are. I'm always up for that. Tell me what you think. Yeah, honestly, shoot me a line. Like DM, Twitter, Andrew Ken. You can even email me at my email address. I have an email. Andrew@mblpocketpodcast.com. Whatever floats your boat. I'm here for it.
Indeed. I don't know if you've got anything else to add, Andrew. I just want to quickly talk about this, but I saw a really interesting video on the MBL's YouTube account. And this one is just barking at the Google search engine optimization. This is a good one. The MBL x NBA jump. Who's got next? ? And then it's got a picture of Shane Heal, Joe Ingles, LaMelo Ball, Giddy, and then a picture with a ? And then it's got who's next. And I put out a tweet. I was like, I was actually impressed by it because it's stuff that they've really tailored for the YouTube algorithm. Nice clickable thumbnail. It poses a question. It has very easily understood, like even without the text there, you can see what's going on. And then you got Giddy, who's a favorite, Ball. It's only got 6,500 views and it's been up for 10 days. I only just saw it today, but I mean, we were sort of criticizing not so much the NBL, but certainly the teams for perhaps not paying as close attention to that. So I just wanted to draw attention to that and say that's, as far as putting yourself in the best position on YouTube, that's really good. And YouTube have just signed a massive contract with the NBA to do their highlights. So YouTube's not some side thing. It's important. But Nick, you're big into kind of digital video. Did you see that? Did you care? Hearing it now, do you care? Do you think it's interesting or what else?
It's interesting. I don't think I've seen it. I don't recall seeing it. I have a look. I saw you posting about it, but I haven't had a look at it yet. But yeah, it's got that, you know, that icon that kind of everybody does on YouTube now, right? With the silhouette of the person with the ? And that sort of thing.
It's slightly derivative, but still like original content as far as it's using a style, but original content behind it.
I mean, it's good to see. Like if you're going to use a platform, you may as well use it well, right?
Yeah, play by the rules. Yeah, absolutely. So that was good. I did have a question for you. It was a similar vein. Oh, the documentary that's come out. We were kind of chatting about it. I don't know how much you want to say or not say. I haven't watched it, so I can only throw my hands up in the air. Has it played through its entirety, or is it coming out each Sunday, every Sunday? How does that work?
It's all out. You can binge it all if you want.
Have you watched it all?
I have. I had COVID last week, and one night I couldn't sleep, so I watched it all at like 2 a.m. So thoughts? I don't know how much I retained, but it was okay. It was a little bit lacking in depth. I think I described it as the video version of the "This Is Fine" meme. It didn't go into a lot of controversy. The first episode was just awful. The first episode is all about the rivalry between United and Phoenix. and I don't think anyone outside of the NBL believes it. It just...
Sorry, like, anyone inside or outside or both?
I mean, they had interviews with Simon Mitchell and Dean Vickerman, and they were talking the talk, you know, that we hate them and all this sort of shit, but...
Oh, because they would have shown footage of the throwdown, the bump and that.
Yeah, and I just don't, I don't buy it. Like, they had that semi-final series, and that, I think you need to play a lot of playoffs and, like, big games against each other, and then that's how you build on that sort of thing.
But, so did it jump the timeline? Did it kind of go, oh, we hate each other, and then talk about, oh, no, because Southeast Melbourne didn't make it, did they?
No, I know. They kind of threw it back to the previous season. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the layout of the episode. So the first one was about United and Southeast Melbourne. Then there was another episode about the Jack Jumpers. There's one about the Kings. There's one about the Wildcats.
I'm assuming that one about the Kings goes all the way through to the winning the championship.
No, the final episode was about the finals. Okay. So that covered the whole playoff series. There's one episode about Next Stars as well. Oh. So it wasn't a timeline of start to finish of the season. That's kind of picked certain narratives and went with it. But then a lot got missed. So there's nothing about the New Zealand Breakers on the road for the entire season.
Right.
So that's like that never happened. So that was kind of disappointing. I think, you know, if you're going to have a story, that's a good story. I don't know if you've seen the Breakers previous season. Yeah, did a documentary.
Yeah, I did catch a bit of it.
And I did like that one. That one had a lot of conflict in it. That was real. And, you know, they had to work through and resolve it. That's the season where Rob Lowe just decided he was going home.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, you're looking at that documentary, some of the players weren't too happy about it. But then he's back with the Breakers now, so they must have got over it. But yeah, that was a real eye-opening series, I thought, compared to this one. This one is a little bit just scratching the surface.
Yeah, I watched one today, actually. I just watched the Wildcats one. And it just felt like it was just kind of like a season in review. And it was framed around the streak. That was the sort of the narrative arc that the device they were using. But it just felt like it was very much a puff piece, like promo. We're only going to talk about the good stuff because ultimately this is just a giant advertisement for the league. So why would we show anything negative?
Why? Made it a puff piece? Like, what did they not? What made it sugary? What if they're talking about the blown streak? What did they skip over that made it superficial? Do you think, Andrew?
Well, for the Wildcats, the whole story for me of that Wildcat season was you had the dueling banjos of Cotton and Law. And while they said nice things about each other, great teammate, great. When you watch those two on the court, it was very much like your turn, my turn. And I don't feel like they ever gelled. And then you had Michael Frazier as the third import underperforming. And you had Luke Travers kind of like one eye on the NBA.
More backstep, totally, yeah.
And then they had the whole John Brown 3 thing that was the whole catalyst behind, you know, why the Wildcats perhaps didn't perform as well in that final run because they were injured, but they also had player like Michael Frazier looking over his back thinking...
Did they mention that? So they didn't mention that at all?
Not mentioned at all.
So John Brown got a mention?
It got mentioned because of Jackson, who asked Donald. That question... So they used that piece of vision for Scott Morrison.
In the F this and the F that?
I think they bleeped that or edited it out. It was...
Okay.
But that was as much as... But they didn't really... I don't know, Nick, you might have a view on it, but it just didn't really explain it. It just showed him sort of blowing up.
Yeah, it was just no context. Yeah. I think, you know, if I was doing it, I would be showing some of the spy shots of him in Perth and... You know, there's a Channel 10 story about it. You know, have a clip of that, of the news story saying, you know, John Brown's in Perth. But, and then you cut to Jackson asking the questions.
Yes.
And then the blow up, because you just get this blow up and it's like, well, what is this all about? Like if you don't know.
Was that out of context?
If you don't know the backstory, because they kind of just mentioned, oh, this is this third import that, another import wanting to come in.
I just want to ask, so can I just ask about the living arrangements between you two at the minute? Where I know it's a sharp departure from what we're chatting about. And we're coming back to that NBL doc, but I just got to know what's going on.
I'm recording on my bed because Andrew's in the living room. There's one desk. So Andrew's got the desk. Yeah, and I'm in my bedroom recording. So
you're in an Airbnb kind of two-bedroomy place and you've got separate bedrooms, obviously.
Yeah. We're not top and tailing or anything like that.
And it's not like Laverne and Shirley where you've got like adjoining rooms where the doors like open up into each other. It's almost that.
Okay. We've each got our own door. It's not one commute. It's not a shared door. We've each got a door, but they're very close to each other. We could pop out from one room to the other.
En suite bathrooms? Or are you sharing a bathroom?
Sharing.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, good luck with that. Lads, we were talking about the NBL documentary before we had that cut out. Sorry about that, everyone. Nick, you were saying, so it was a little bit superficial for your taste because it didn't quite explain the John Brown thing and Morrison has.
Yeah, I think I was saying that if you weren't already aware of the situation, like you wouldn't know what they were talking about when they kind of talked about the
right.
The replacement import, and they played the clips from Scott Morrison's presser where he's saying he doesn't want to talk about it anymore and all this sort of thing. And they didn't. Yeah. So what I would have done is go over the background about how this guy was playing in Europe and he was without a team now and he wanted to come to Perth and they brought him in, had all the paperwork ready to go, but it just wasn't cleared in time. And maybe explain that a bit more, and then you would get more out of that outburst from the coach.
Right.
But they didn't do that. And, you know, I think that was kind of, I don't know if it was a pivotal moment in the season, but it was certainly a significant one. That was when Frazier was injured.
In the Wildcat season, yeah.
For the Wildcat season, yeah. You know, I think Frazier having to train with the guy and then, having to play with the guy in the stands. And, you know, I think he actually played pretty well after that, if I remember correctly. But that wasn't even touched, really. Yeah. Like,
that's interesting. Yeah, and it mirrors a similar conversation I had the other day with someone where like, Justin Trudeau did something silly today where he, like, sung in some hotel lobby about the Queen or whatever it was. And people just referring to him as just Justin Trudeau. And I was sort of in the newsroom saying, hey, you got to call this guy the Canadian Prime Minister. Like, I know who the guy is, but a lot of people might not. And it takes two words to time me saying it. It's maybe half a second to say Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Some people just wouldn't know. And they're like, who's Justin Trudeau? He's singing. I don't care. But everyone in the newsroom knew who he was. But it's like, hey, you got to give, you know, you got to pretend everyone's, you don't want to talk down to people, but you got to give it, you got to give it the respect it deserves. But yeah, it's funny you say that they didn't really explain that so well. That's really interesting. I wonder, and this is a question for you, Andrew. Target audience of this thing, would it have played well with this demographic that we, the three of us, do not sit in? Would it export well? Would you, you know? What do you think?
Well, not being part of that demographic, I have no idea. I don't think so, though. I think it's probably a bit too slow and boring for a younger audience. So I think we're picking at it because it's not detailed and professional enough or you know, telling the true story. I think the young people would be like, boring.
Really? And this is my last question on it. Did they utilize, like, if you had to give a pie graph of the footage they used, was it a lot of kind of newsreel reports? Was it mostly stuff they've shot themselves and baseline camera? Did they get a lot of interviews with people who were kind of, you know, what would be the pie graph of what kind of content/footage they actually used? Nick, you're probably best to answer that one.
I think maybe 60% would be game footage from the broadcast, and also they would have had extra cameras on the sidelines. So that was the bulk of it. They had interviews, so maybe like 20% interviews with players and coaches and officials, I guess NBL people like Larry Kesselman and that.
Can I just, sorry to jump in there, but were any of those interviews, about 80%, were any of those interviews illuminating? Like, did they get Scott Morrison after he left, after they lost?
No, that would have been good, but no.
That would have been amazing. Are you kidding me?
The most interesting one, I think, was when they got Vickerman and Mitchell, Simon Mitchell, to sit down at a pub. And yeah. I didn't realize they played together on the Tigers. You know, they've got a history together. Yeah, so that was interesting. That was something I learned that I didn't know. But as far as the Wildcat stuff, like, no, nothing new. They spoke with Luke Travers and they spoke with Bryce Cotton and Scott Morrison, but that was prior to season finishing. Can I just say one thing that really shit me was they showed footage of the NBA draft, and you know Luke Travers got drafted during commercial break, so they showed Usman, Dieng, and forget the other guy from the Breakers, the French guy who got drafted, Besson. They showed both of them going up, you know, shaking the hand, but they just showed the during the ad break, Luke Travers got drafted, that footage. So that was a bit disappointing. That's not their fault.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll have to check some of this out and see what's going on. One last question on it. I know I said that before, but did they push – who was sort of the – like when you watch Lennon Cooper's, say, golden era, which is real good, interviews with the players and stuff, like Al Green was probably the most – vocal about like I like this, I hated this, very honest. And then they anchor it with Boddy kind of coming in every now and again and saying like, well, this was good, and really kind of laying out the law, like, well, this guy, I mean, I think Boddy at one point calls Brunson a knob, and he's being quite who was the journalistic, I hate that word, who was the sort of storyline anchor who gave an opinion about what was going on? Was there that presence?
There was, I don't think there was. You'd have to look at it episode by episode because there wasn't really something tying each episode together. There wasn't a narrative that
it ended on. Surely each episode ended on a cliffhanger.
Like, well, not really. It was like for the Wildcats episode, you could watch that as a standalone episode and it would make total sense. You could leave the episode out of the series. And it wouldn't make a difference to the other episodes. Oh. It told the story of the Wildcat season from start to finish.
Okay.
So start being Zoom calls with Scott Morrison before he was in the country, and the end being missing the playoffs, and then Scott Morrison leaves. So, yeah, in the context of the other episodes, it's like an anthology series, right? So each episode kind of stands on its own.
Yeah, maybe that was by design. We might have to tap someone on the shoulder about this because I would have thought you'd end on a cliffhanger where it's like you end with Perth and then you probably go and then you know somehow tease that next week is Southeast Melbourne or something like that. But maybe they wanted standalone episodes so it was completely like Lego. You could totally pull it apart. I don't know.
Actually, anyway, tying everything together was a dude spray painting. So there's a spray painter and he would spray paint motifs on the wall. So there'd be like a Sydney Kings thing. For the Wildcats, it was actually pretty funny. He did this 35-year streak thing on the wall. And at the end of the episode, he like sprays over it and resets the counter to zero.
That's awesome. That's actually kind of cool. All right. Well, that's interesting.
Joe, if you want to watch a basketball show, I would say instead of watching that, watch on Apple TV Plus. It's called The Long Game, bigger than basketball. It follows the story of the Makers. So mainly Mature Maker, but also has Thon Maker in it a fair bit. And the family and their whole situation in the US and his experience at college. And it tells a really fascinating story with some interesting characters. Leaves a bit open to interpretation. What you think of these people and how you think it all played out. That is a good show to watch. Yeah, I think it was, I think it was partly funded. Maybe there was some consulting producer was Thon Maker. So read into that what you will. But it was a pro, you know, it's worth watching. That's all I can say. Fascinating.
He's interesting, a case where he was like a 5-star recruit who kind of took the noble route of going to the all black college or all African-American college over there. I think it was even a Catholic school or something. Yeah, and that just totally destroyed, bad choice, totally destroyed his draft options. did Sydney, and I believe has signed a small contract with the Bulls. So good luck with him. But yeah, that hopefully yeah, they watch, highlight how that was that. Perhaps a bad decision.
It's really good.
Yeah, got hurt. COVID killed that college season, then got hurt. Worst case scenario happened for him. So fingers crossed. But yes, thank you for that recommendation. And I will. Lads, let's get out of here. I think we've recorded for an hour. I'll leave you be. Last word, like Andrew, what's coming up? What do you want to do?
We got those games tomorrow. If there's anything people want to know about or want us to ask or see, obviously reach out to us. That's all I got.
Nick?
Yeah, if there's anything that people want to see or hear about Darwin in general, let us know as well.
Perfect. Lads, appreciate you doing this. Speak again soon.